And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Bum in the Bloom, episode 299. Coming at you on a Tuesday evening. It's almost like it's in season because it's a bloom board night, everybody. Giving you a little K percentage, barrel percentage, risers, fallers. It's like the good old days, talking bloom boards. On the show, we got some news. Alec Manoa got signed. Big news. We got that coming your way and much, much more. But before we get to that, you can find me on Twitter at BDNTrick, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, on Patreon at patreon.com/BubbaBloom. And my co-host, as always, on Twitter at RyanBHQ. Ryan Bloomfield, how are we doing, my friend?
Doing all right, man. Had a good Thanksgiving. Took the family out to the coast for the weekend. That was fun. And then I think every child in Oregon obtained some type of illness on Sunday coming back. So I've been tending to a sick little one the last couple of days. So that part hasn't been that great. But baseball-wise, joined a draft with you. Yep. At DC on Sunday night on the way back from the beach. So that's always a good way to keep the momentum going. And then we're doing this group Discord draft and hold, which has been really fun. Ryan Beck, who you did your episode with a bench with Bubba with Mr. Beck last week, which was awesome. He's leading that charge. So thanks to him, we've got a kind of a Discord voting democracy selection process for picking our team. So that's been fun too. So I think on the baseball side, things are good.
Yes, they are. It's kind of like it's got more organization, it feels like, than the college football playoff committee. So that's good.
Yeah, a lot more going and far less corruption.
Yes, far less corruption. Yeah. We're, there's not a lot of corruption at all than ours. That's for darn sure.
We don't even know how to corrupt the Discord polls. So
we're not there yet. Not there yet. So. Yeah, no, things are rolling. Things are rolling. That's for sure. We're hitting December before you know it'll be Christmas, and then January 1st hits, and man, hot stoves heating up. We got the, I believe it's the winter meetings start next week, or like this weekend, next week, something like that. So those are just right around the corner. There's a lot of rumors swirling. We get a new signing, it feels like, every couple of days. So it'll be some big Christmas presents getting handed out to some guys, I think, pretty soon. Which will be interesting. Plus, a lot of rumored potential trade guys all of a sudden. So, business is picking up around baseball. That is for sure. All right. Speaking of news, let's get to it. Dylan Cease. It was a great day. It was like a day or two after Sonny Gray gets traded. Then it's Dylan Cease. Like, my boys are just cluttering social media. It's beautiful. Dylan Cease signs of the Toronto Blue Jays. A lot of deferral money. Found that out today. That became official on Tuesday.
Your favorite word. Deferral money.
Yeah, it's real good. Another team in blue and white with all the deferrals. Just kind of must be a thing. But Dylan Cease heads north of the border. He's going to join Bieber. He's going to join Gossman. And it makes sense because some of those guys will be leaving in the next couple of years. So 7-year deal for Cease. And I am just excited as all can be.
So, yeah, I mean, we've talked about Cease a bunch. We're both pretty high on him, especially in terms of rebounding from what he did in 2025. I mean, do you think this is a good move? Like, on the spectrum of potential teams Cease could have signed, good move in terms of Cease's fantasy value. I don't care about the Jays. Still bitter about, obviously, wearing my Mariners hoodie this evening. Don't care about the Jays. Just care about Dylan Cease's fantasy value. To me, like, obviously the Jays are a good team. That's good. The bullpen is very shaky, at least as currently constructed. So that's probably my only thing is Dylan Cease going 5 or 6 innings, and what's that bullpen support going to be? And even what's the run support going to be? I guess there's still a lot of questions on, you know, the roster in terms of do they bring Bichette back? Who else do they get to kind of complement Vlad and Springer? But I think it's kind of just like a neutral move from San Diego. I don't know what you think about that, but.
Yeah, I don't think it's a major bump by any means. It's probably a good ballpark to pitch in. Might not be better than Petco. Petco's pretty legit when all things are considered. But people go, oh, the AL East. And it's like, okay, that's fine. But he had the Dodgers every year, or at least this last year. And then he went to Coors. D-backs weren't a joke. So it's not like it was a pushover in the NL West.
Yeah, and the schedule's not as unbalanced as it used to be either. So
like, I'm fine with all of that, all things considered. So I think he's going to be just fine. It just comes down to, like we've said, breaking him down before, is can he avoid like the high BABIP? Can he get back to what his underlying stats actually showcase, be a strikeout machine and limit the damage, like the little things? I'm curious, does he develop a splitter just like Gossman, Bieber, and Yusavichev. It's like it's protocol in Toronto. And there was a thing that came out that apparently last offseason he was hanging out with Gossman trying to learn how to throw it. So that could be interesting as well.
Could be. I think Cease is just fine without it, but yeah, you know.
I'm with you. I don't think it's a must by any means, but if you throw a good splitter into the arsenal, can't hurt. So, yeah, I think it's a lateral move, still very high on Dylan Cease. I already have a few shares, of course, plan on adding more if I can throughout draft season. So nothing crazy, but I'm happy he got paid. He got a nice 7-year deal, and I got to see people that don't know how to read how a pitcher actually did. They just look at ERA and then other smart people. It was very fun to watch that go for a couple days on Twitter.
Yeah, yep.
The Jays made another move on Tuesday. They added to their starting rotation without Chris Bassitt in town, and who knows if Jose Barrios will be around much longer. They signed Cody Ponce out of the KBO. He was the MVP this year. I believe it was 17-1, like 252 strikeouts. He had an 18-strikeout game. Velocity is a little higher than it was before he left. He's developed a splitter, I believe, as well. So there's a repertoire with Ponce. Now we know we've seen this show, Ryan. KBO, back to the U.S., how's it go? But we've seen some guys have success, and some guys are Miles Mikolas.
Yeah, some guys are Miles Mikolas. Some guys are Eric Fetty. I mean, that's another one I'm looking at. Like, Merrill Kelly, which was a plus. Eric Fetty threw 180 innings in the KBO in 2023 at a 2.00 ERA. His first season back to the majors at 3.30 ERA. Granted, ERA estimators were around a 4. And then last season, not great for Eric Fetty. So, I don't know much about Cody Ponce, so I'm not just going to sit here and make something up. I need to dive more into him, or just figure we would talk to someone who knows the KBO better than us and get information from there. So definitely seems like Ponce is going to have a rotation spot, though. Like, I think that's the thing is, like, if you're drafting right now and it's midway through or your second half of your DC, do you want to take a shot at like a Jose Barrios where you think you have that bankable volume? That may no longer be the case, right? Because obviously you've got Gossman, Bieber, you Savage there from last year, Cease, and then now Cody Ponce. So that rotation is getting full right now.
Yeah, over the last month of DC's ADP is 462, as high as 365. So get it while you can. Eventually the price might not be great when you're trying to get Cody Ponce, but if he's in the 400s, he's like your eighth or ninth pitcher. You could have some fun with that.
Was Ponce, I guess I'm out of the loop. Like, I guess he was expected to sign at some point because people were drafting him in the 400s and he's in the KBO.
I have one or two shares already. Yeah, no, they said he was coming back. It was already a done deal, just matter where he was going.
You gotta tell me these things, man. Yeah, you know, can't wait till after the news happens.
Well, this is what we're here for. You've been busy with the forecaster. You're doing your thing. We'll get you caught up here in no time. You're only in your second draft. You have plenty of time to fix things. So you're good. What's good or bad depends on if you're glass half full or glass half empty. Is Devin Williams signs with the New York Mets. Now, he got a 3-year deal, around 50 mil, no trade clause, or he has to basically sign off on it. He gets another $1 million if he does get traded. Saw that. That was an interesting one. But there is some deferral money in there. This is a thing. And the Mets said they're still looking into Edwin Diaz. So, yes, it's closer money. It's a 3-year deal. Devin Williams, we talked about, was much better than his numbers actually show, especially in like the last month or so of the season, looked really good. But they might still screw this up and bring Edwin Diaz back. So for fantasy, this is tricky.
This is tricky. And yeah, it sparked some good debate in the Discord the night that the signing happened. I don't think we're out of the woods. I need to see where Edwin Diaz signs before I'm interested in Devin Williams. And I'm very interested in Devin Williams. I think the skills last year were just fine. I mean, we've talked about that and during our reliever review. I think Devin Williams from a actual skills perspective is going to be fine. It's just are the Mets going to, I think there's two teams where a Devin Williams signs and is not the closer, and it's like the Dodgers and the Mets. And so are the Mets going to go out and get Edwin Diaz? I don't know the answer to that, but it certainly sounds like it's still in play. Just for reference, I've got our ADP tracker up, which has ADP for drafts that are still in progress. And that's available on our Patreon as part of our Patreon. You get access to this. Three drafts since the signing for Devin Williams. He has gone 79, 67, and 74 in 15 team draft and holds. So that's much earlier in the draft than his, than Williams' 88 ADP. So he's moved up a round or two already just on the Mets news. So be aware of that. I still think you're taking a risk taking somebody that early and you don't know if he's going to be the closer.
Yeah. Cause I'm with you. I was actually enjoying taking the chance on him at his ADP. And then this move, I'm like first very excited. Then the more reports came about the Diaz thing, we know the Mets will spend all the money in the world. And that took us, and Devin Williams flat out said, I'm fine pitching the eighth. Like he said that when he signed. I'm like, huh, that's not a
risk. $60 million to do that to you.
Yeah, I'd probably do whatever they asked for at that point, too, when it came to pitching, that is. So, yeah, that's pretty.
What else would you do for $60 million?
Hey, in 2025, we have to speculate here and let people know. Like, hey, have you seen Office Space? What would you do with $1 million, Ryan? Yeah, there's a lot of angles to go here. But Devin Williams, I'm a fan, but to your point, he'd have to be like my RP3 at this point to feel comfortable with him. And that's not going to happen.
That's not going to happen. I mean, yeah, yeah. Given those three drafts since the signing that I just laid out.
Let's do this.
Not
happening. We talked pre-show about this because you and I both love this guy. Would you rather go Devin Williams or take a chance on Daniel Palencia?
I mean, at the price, I would rather take a chance at Palencia.
Yeah. Okay. I'm with you because I just did again. All right. Let's talk another closer. The Baltimore Orioles, they made a splash. There's a lot of closers on the market. This wasn't the first one I thought we'd see gone, but I guess it makes sense. Get them early before the price goes up. Ryan Helsley signs with the Baltimore Orioles. He will be the closer. They flat out said he is pitching because a couple days before that, there's a rumor of, hey, the teams want to move Ryan Helsley back to the rotation. It's like, you guys are crazy. So Helsley is going to be the ninth inning guy for Baltimore. We know how it was good. Still not great, but good when he was closing in St. Louis this past year. It was great previously. Then he went to the Mets as a setup man, and hoof, nightmare fuel on that one. So what are your thoughts here? Because ADP, I'll let you give the numbers when you look at the tracker, but since the day he signed, things have jumped like 60 to 70 picks.
Yeah, Helsley over the last 7 days and 15 teamers is an ADP of 126, but in the last six drafts, 15 teamers, Helsley has gone 86, 75, 73, 95, 86, 76. So that's the new price on Ryan Helsley. Again, those are drafts that are still in progress. That's not going to show up on the ADP site yet, on the NFBC site yet. So that's almost Devin Williams prices. I wish Devin Williams signed with Baltimore over the Mets. So kudos to anyone who got early Ryan Helsley shares like in the mid 100s. That is awesome. I think, you know, I've seen kind of the reports of Helsley likely tipping his pitches once he moved to the Mets. I don't know what was going on there. That's, you know, at don't know whether to believe that or not, but if so, that would certainly explain an all-out sudden collapse from a reliever who has otherwise been one of the most consistent relievers in baseball from 2022 through 24. So I think this is really good for Ryan Helsley. I think Ryan Helsley is still a good pitcher. The whiffs were still there last year. He still threw a ton of strikes. I think the walk rate can improve from 10% that he showed last year. So, yeah, I think Ryan Helsley, I don't exactly know where I draft him in the new closer sphere yet, but I would be happy with him as my first closer if, you know, the top tier of guys was off the board.
Yep. I'm usually an anti-Helsley guy, but to your point, knock on wood, a locked-in role. Orioles, I think they'll be better than they've been in the past. I'd like to give them that as well. So we saw how, you know, the mountain Bautista was getting save after save after save when this team was good. So if we just meet in the middle of last year and previous years, that's probably a 30 to 40 save dude, which is pretty awesome. That's what you want at ADP 70. Now you've seen the ratios to come back into play. Like I said, when I wrote him up for the Black Book, the first half or before the deadline with the Cardinals, it's still a little sketchy, but it was a lot more in line with what we've seen in the past. That just – it's we always talk about it, like a reliever's stat line is so ballooned because of usage. Just those 2 months in the Bronx just destroyed him. Just that's why really we talk a lot. You can't just take first half and second half and like run with it. But with pitchers, if you want to, at least relievers, if you want to analyze a little more, I would look a little more detailed with them, because like all it takes is one or two outing to blow it up. He had like eight of them. So it was a big one.
Hunter Hurst Helsley or Devin Williams? They roughly the same ADP right now.
The guy's got the job. I got to take the guy with the job. But like you said, I'd take Devin Williams 10 out of 10 if I knew he had a job. It wouldn't even be close to me.
Agreed on both fronts. But right now I'm taking Helsley. I just don't want the risk of not having a closer and taking him that early.
Because in a 15, man, it's like in a 12, I could live with Devin probably, because you could find more closing depth in a 12. In a 15, as you know, even the drafts we're doing, it gets murky quick.
Yeah. Yep.
So like you're already behind the eight ball at that point in time.
Yep.
All right, last bit of news here. Big signing in Anaheim on Tuesday. $1.75 million, I believe, for a one-year deal for a 27-year-old Alek Manoah. I only bring this up because, A, Scott Burks, we still love you. And Manoah is, like I said, 27. More importantly, it's a Angels team where he'll get his opportunities. Like I told you before the show, is when I was doing PT tomorrow, the Angels' depth in the pitching department is rough. A lot of injured guys, like a lot of really young guys that haven't really found their sea legs yet. And then you had like Jack Kiwanowicz getting a bunch of starts. So give me Alek Manoah's chances every time. And we saw him actually pitch decent in AAA this past year, like when he started to get some more reps in after he got his mic. Not great, but I'm not trying to say he's a must pick. We talked about this. But it's a guy that if he's going like in the last two rounds of DCs right now, if you can get a guy that might get 20 starts, that's got value to it.
Yeah, I mean, if you're in a draft and hold, especially a 15, I don't even know if in 12 teamers I would take Alek Manoah still.
No,
but if you're in like the 40th, mid 40s rounds, sure, I would take a shot on someone who has had previous success like Manoah has, is still just 27 like Manoah is, and seemingly has a job, which Manoah has. But I wouldn't go much earlier than that. I mean, yeah, the 297 ERA in AAA last year, but it was an 8% K to walk with really bad control, a 38% ball rate for Manoah. So I don't think this guy's out of the woods.
Though. It's an improvement.
Yeah, that's an improvement. Sure. That's like me slicing a ball into the woods and then doing a mulligan and hitting it into a lake. I don't know if that's an improvement or not, but that's pretty much what Alek Manoah was last year. So again, I take him in the mid 40s rounds, but that's about it. I'm not expecting much.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying he's a must pick by any means. I would be willing to guarantee at some point on a Thursday night, Ryan, we are going to talk about him for streaming purposes throughout this season.
Maybe. I hope not.
It'll happen. It's going to happen. And you're gonna probably give me that same look you're giving right now, like, God, Bubba, really? Really?
Yeah. Yep. It's gonna be like, yeah, yep. It's gonna be the end of the show, the damn two steps. It's gonna be like Manoah, you know, interleague against the Rockies and the Marlins.
And you're at home.
Ask me if I want Manoah. Yeah.
We have that every year. There's always the one like, no, I don't ever want to use this guy. Well, let me tell you about his two matchups this week. Okay. All right.
I'll probably still
that's
say
it no. for the news. That's it for the news and notes. We'll have more coming this way. Like I said, things are the hot stove's picking up, folks. So we're going to get rocking and rolling there. But let's get to it. Bloom board season is upon us, and we got a good one on our hands here, Ryan.
All right. Yeah. So what this board is, and just pulled it up for those watching on YouTube, our typical format of risers in green and fallers in red. These are probably, if I had to pick two, like we say all the time, strikeout to walk rate for pitchers is the go-to metric. For hitters, for me, it's two things. It's strikeout rate and barrel rate. Strikeout rate, obviously, how often are you striking out? You want that to be low. League average is 22% roughly. And then barrel rate is when you do make contact, how often is it a barrel? How hard are you hitting the ball? League average on that is roughly 8.5. Maybe up to 9, I think still 8.5% in 2025. So what these boards are simply looking at is who improved the most when I combine the strikeout rate and barrel rate, and who declined the most in terms of strikeout rate and barrel rate. And I've got their ADP listed as well, just because we are now in draft season and draft price is everything. I know a lot of people say don't look at ADP. I disagree. We need to look at ADP and evaluate these guys in terms of where they're going compared to others, you know, at the position around them. So that's what we've got tonight. Had to have 350 plate appearances in each season. So I'm comparing 2024 to 2025. Had to have 350 plus PAs in both seasons to qualify for this board. Before we get into specifics, just real interesting as I'm looking at it, three of the fallers are top 20 picks this year, which probably don't need to spend too much time on them, but Soto, Witt, and Francisco Lindor were fallers last year, but they will all be fine.
Yeah, I got comments on Lindor, obviously, like I always do, but I wrote about him recently, and that stood out to me a little bit, but no concern. But we shouldn't be concerned about any of them. But yeah, let's start on the risers side of things here. And I'm glad Michael Bush tops the list, because I think I've written him up twice already this year for I did actually for our Patreon articles that you gave me, Barrel and Hard Hit riser fallers recently. Michael Bush checks the box here. ADP is around 106 right now, but this guy, he took a drop in K rate of 5% from 24 to 25, but his barrel rate rose 6% from 24 to 25. That led to a 13 home run jump in just three more games, up to 34 home runs last year. There's much more to the Michael Bush package, though, when you look at what he did, because it was the hard hit rate that took a jump, his max EV. Like, you go down the board what this man did, and he excelled this past season, and he's got me very intrigued of, can he keep it up? Or even if he meets in the middle of the last two seasons, I really like what we're seeing from Michael Bush. So it's one of those things, like we've talked about it before with different players, big time prospect with the Dodgers, couldn't get his chance, got his chance, here it is. That's why you like Miguel Vargas. Like these dudes, they're prospects for a reason. Now not all pan out. Michael Bush is starting to show what he can do.
And chalk one up for the olds in terms of prospects. Michael Bush, I mean, now this will be his age 28 season. So, since Michael Bush is the top riser in terms of strikeout rate and barrel rate last from 24 to 25, obviously we're both going to be pretty high on the guy. The thing I like is the ADP is still pretty palatable at 106. The thing that I need to get my bias out of my head for this is thinking Michael Bush is a platoon bat. Had 592 plate appearances last year and truthfully wasn't that bad. He was slightly below league average, but that he wasn't, you know, wasn't a hindrance against lefties last season, and certainly could improve in that department as well. So I think this is an everyday player. I think Michael Bush, I think the price is very reasonable, and you improve your strikeout rate that much by 5 points and you become one of the better power hitters in baseball in terms of barrel rate. That's a pretty damn good sign. So everything that Michael Bush did last season was supported by the skills. And I think the nice thing too is that there's just not much of a, there's not a big track record to say, oh, this is an outlier. Like this is one of Michael Bush's two seasons in the majors pretty much. And so, you know, it's a pretty big chunk of his sample in against major league pitching.
Yep. No, I fully agree with this one. And I remember going into draft season last year, he was really cheap because they brought Justin Turner in and they were supposed to platoon him. That's how it was supposed to go.
That's probably why I think he's a platoon guy.
Yeah, he's not anymore. He's not a platoon guy anymore. So that's a great point you mentioned. And if I have to throw any like cold water potentially on this, just to like if people want to debate it, if you look at his home road splits, 13 home runs at home, 21 on the road. So Wrigley, like we talked about last year, Sarah Sanchez had that article about Wrigley Field. It is a very weather-issued stadium from time to time. So if he stumbles on the road at all, there's your possible regression, because he hit for the same batting average on home and road, basically 262, 261, 77 games, both spots. So he's pretty much the same quality of hitter, just the power is much different on the road than at home. So if you have any minor thing to mention about him, that's the one that stood out to me the most. Jorge Polanco, let's get a Mariner on the board right away. This is impressive to me that he dropped his strikeout rate from 29% to 16%. Jorge Polanco. Now his barrel rate only went from 9 to 10%, but man, a 13% strikeout rate, that is insane.
Yeah, I mean, a 13% improvement, like that's huge. And to do it, and so yeah, like his power didn't go up, but to basically cut your strikeout rate in half is a massive improvement. And he basically did it while holding the same level of power. So very productive season for Jorge Polanco. If I'm going to throw cold water on it, it is the age. It is the history of pretty much lower body injuries, like the plate appearances for Jorge Polanco over the last four seasons, minors included, 445, 380, 469. And then last year spiked to 524. So I just think like the price is fine. It's going like 250 or whatever. Like I think that's or 237 we've got on the board here. I think that's palatable, but I wouldn't, especially in draft and holds, like you can take Jorge Polanco at the price. I think that's fine, but I think you need some, coverage there. I don't think this is a bastion of health.
Yeah. And he's still looking for a home to top it off. So it's a combo of things. It seemed like last year we were always like, it's his knee, it's his this, it's that. Yeah. So your health comment is, it's not great. If people want to say, okay, yeah, the strikeout rate 29 to 16%, is that sustainable? Well, prior to 2022, he was a sub 20% guy his entire career, basically. So it's not like that's out of his profile by any means. Now the power to go with it, he's done like one other time when he wasn't striking out a ton, two other times, I guess. But we've seen the production from Polanco, but to your point, the age and his recent health history, not a big fan.
That's a good point. I just want to dive in a little bit on that point you just made, because not Polanco in general, it's just in general. Whenever you're looking at an improver in any stat from one year to the next, take the longer look at the track record. Which one's the outlier? I always think back to Ronald Acuna when he was always like a high 20 strikeout rate, and I forget which season. It went down to like 13% or something, and everyone was like, whoa. And then the next couple seasons, it went right back to where it was in the past. So that's always a little bit of a kind of a gotcha when you're just comparing two seasons. Take a longer look, see which one's the outlier. And I think that's probably the one you want to say is not going to happen again.
Agreed. Let's talk torque. Spencer Torkelson has an ADP of 180 right now. We saw his K percentage go from 28 to 26%, which you'll live with torque, especially when that barrel rate goes from 7 to 14%. Now, I guess it could be he was so bad because what this does to me is he hit 31 home runs last year. In 2023, he hit 31 home runs that year. His barrel rate was 14% that year. He returned basically that 2023 form is what it comes down to for me.
Agreed. And this is the same example that I was just saying. Look at the track record for Torkelson. 2024, I think, was the outlier with that elevated K rate. Now, the problem with Torque for me is, the power is there. He hits so many damn fly balls. It was a 53% fly ball rate for Torkelson last season. That's great, especially if you have power. But in that park, that's a little bit tough. And we all know what happens to fly balls that don't clear the fence. They get caught. So a 240 batting average for Torque last season was, I believe, his career high. And I don't see it getting much higher than that. So that's your problem with Torque. It's like, I don't see even him being like, he will be most likely a batting average drain. And then there's risk that he doesn't get back to 30 homers. I'd bet on 30 homers over another 240 batting average is kind of what I'm trying to say.
It's kept me off of him, the batting average concerns, to be honest.
It's tough.
At that ADP, like last year, we were all excited because of spring training, he was still so cheap, but now it's different. And if you're an X-Stat believer, no, a lot of people aren't. He was 230 last year, 209, 252, 223. So only one year he outperformed his average when it came to X-Stats due to the fly balls and other fun stuff. So I just wanted to add on to that as well. I'm not going to bring up too much on Pete Alonso as you do. I think we just know the dude's a beast. For him, because I've written about him almost every year for different things, it always comes down to his strikeouts for the most part, because the dude's going to hit the snot out of the baseball no matter what he does. It's just like a couple years ago, he was just chasing so much. Then all of a sudden, he stopped chasing so much, and then voila. I guess it is surprising he went up to a 6% barrel increase.
That's huge.
Yeah, especially for a guy that hits the ball like he does. So if you got anything on Pete, go for it. I think he's just a masher, and I don't have a whole lot to add about him.
No, I don't have too much. I drafted Pete Alonso in the second round of my previous draft and hold, so I think that probably speaks to how much I like
draft right now.
Did you? You got Pete in this one. So. We both have Pete in the second round, so if that tells you listeners what we think about Pete Alonso, there we go. I obviously need to build some, you need to have a stolen base plan there, but the other four categories I think are pretty damn pretty damn locked in.
In our democracy in NFC 50, I wanted people off, but everybody took Vlad, so that didn't work out so well. Yeah, I really want Bubba, that power source.
Bubba's going to J6 the Discord.
It's about a month away.
Springer, I should have said that, but I'm tired, so whatever.
Yeah, I'm gonna bring this up for Ryan's sake because he is the George Springer guy because he's old as heck. George Springer ADP is still 113, so he's up there, but he didn't take the jump. I think people are at least willing to realize, okay, he's old. Like, is this sustainable type stuff?
Yeah.
But K rate's identical. But another guy, 7% increase in barrel rate from 9 to 16% at age 35 is nuts. Like, that's just crazy. I know he said pretty much everything he did last year is nuts, but I don't know. Last time he did this was 2021. Like, is this something we can continue to see? Is a big question.
Yeah, I mean, no. The obvious answer is no. The thing is, everyone knows that. So George Springer was like a first round player last year, and he's being picked 113. So, like, the market's, you know, the market's smart. But even still, so I've got, you know, my early draft seed sheet here with projections from HQ and some on Fangraphs, kind of blended those together. It's got George Springer as the 29th best hitter. And ADP 66th best hitter. So I still think George Springer is a screaming value. I'm a little surprised the price is this cheap. So yes, obviously George Springer, like that major uptick in power. Yes, he deserved the home run output last year. That can be true, but also he's probably going to fall back, especially with the age. So the nice thing is you it's baked into the price, if not baked in a little bit too much. So I really like George Springer at ADP 113 right now.
Agreed. All right, let's get back to a torque like player here and Joe Adell, who has got an ADP of 149, saw a 2% increase in strikeout rate from 28 to 26%. But what we did see was that power 12% to 17% increase in barrel rate this past year, which resulted in 37 home runs, played 152 games, 98 RBIs. Like, him and Taylor Ward didn't hit for average, but they had a ton of bombs and both drove in nearly over 100 RBIs. Like, big boy stuff from Joe Adell. It didn't run, which concerned people. But again, a lot of us liked him last year because it was, okay, we saw signs in 2024. He's 26 years old last year. I'm still very interested in a guy like Joe Adell. It's just the batting average is a concern, to everyone's point. But I think the power is as legit as it comes with him. And I know it's a small sample and he could revert back. But I'm just a believer in a former top prospect finally figuring it out.
Yeah, and the price isn't that bad. I mean, outfielders going around Joe Adell right now are like Andy Pajes, Noelvi Marte, probably playing him at third base, Lou Bob, Chandler Simpson, Lawrence Butler, Jacob Marcy, Brandon Nimmo. Like,
yeah, I'd probably take Adell over most of those guys, honestly, if I want power especially.
I think I might too. And I wonder, like, this could be good or bad, but Adell didn't really run last season, but he can.
Yep.
He can run. I mean, he was 5 of 6 on the bases last year. In 2024, Adell stole 15 bags. So you can't expect this to happen from like a projection standpoint, or certainly when you draft Adell. But I think there's a chance, like, if Joe Adell gets back up to that 15 stolen base type, which I think he can, then he becomes a very, very interesting player.
Yeah, like I'm quite interested in that. And he made some nice improvements. His contact rates is what I would say. It's not like massive improvements, but even a 3.5% increase in the zone for the guy with that kind of power, that does escalate to some success. So he's young. He's showing improvements. That's what I want to see. I think the power is legit. Can he put the rest together? We'll have to wait and see. Let's talk about Mickey. Yes. Oh, sorry. I won't sing anymore. But Mickey Moniak, ADP 225. K rate dropped from 27 to 24%. Barrel rate 9 to 14%. I know everyone right out the gate, home road splits. You're not wrong. But even with said home road splits in 135 games, he had 24 home runs, hit 270, Ryan. And right now, if you look at the Rockies roster, not a whole lot sitting in his way from potentially playing the same amount of games this year. So I don't know. I'm interested at that ADP, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, it's tough because it's not only just the home road splits, it's the lefty righty splits. with Moniak. So you've got like two splits to worry about. So the stars are lining for home weeks against righties. You know, it doesn't happen all that often, but even with all that said, if you just ride it out with Mickey Moniak at a price of 225, you ride the good with the bad and take the right-handers and you take the home or whatever. This still looks like a pretty decent value. And Mickey Moniak honestly wasn't even that bad in 2023 either. So I don't think this is just like a total one-off for Mickey Moniak. Obviously, the prospect pedigree has been there. It's been a while, but age 28, Mickey Moniak with this type of skill improvement, I'm not like super excited about him, but when I look at outfielders going around Mickey Moniak, it's my guy. It's Jack Kags. It's Oof. Santander. It's Oof. It's Giancarlo, Tennis Elbow, Stanton.
His teammate Jordan Bett goes 10 picks earlier.
Yeah, so like the price is awfully palatable. I just always worry. I always have my kind of weekly lineups brain going off. And what do you do with Mickey Moniak when he's on the road and, you know, faces four righties in a week? Like, that's not the best start. So I don't know.
Yep. I'm with you, but I do believe this is who he is, to the original point we both have made now. Seiya Suzuki, the guy that we've loved since he basically became a Major League Baseball player. Last year, Seiya Suzuki struck out 25% of the time, down 2% from 2024. More importantly, barreled the ball 5% more, up to 17% this past year. Only hit 245, though, which is a bummer. Massive BABIP drop. Yep. But also hit 32 home runs, which was huge. 103 RBIs, tremendous. Didn't run at all. We've talked about that plenty. Actually, he only ran one time in his career. The rest of the time, this is kind of who he was. So the question becomes, is this power who he is? Is it a batting average? Is it the Ian Happ syndrome? Did he sacrifice power or batting average for power?
That's what you got to look at, right? The barrel rate for Suzuki in the four seasons in the majors, 11, 10, 12, and then boom, 17%. When it's now your age 31 season, it's like, what's that next number going to be? Which is all what we're trying to figure out as we prep for 2026 drafts. Is it likely to stay at 17, or is it more likely to drop down to like the 10, 11% that he's shown the other 3 years in his career? I'm more tempted to say it's going to fall back. So I think this is probably the best we will see from Seiya Suzuki in terms of power. That said, you mentioned the BABIP. Like, Seiya Suzuki did not get credit for batting average last year. I still think this is a 270, 280 type hitter. And so if may just come out in the wash where, yeah, he's not going to hit 32 homers again, maybe that drops down to like 25. But if your batting average goes up from 245 to 270 or 280, still a really damn good player. So I think Seiya Suzuki at a 83 ADP is properly priced. I would not expect another 30 homers out of him, just given the track record, but I would expect some more hits, just because the BABIP, while it was pretty much league average in 2025, Seiya Suzuki's own baseline has been much, much higher than that. So I would expect that to go back up.
Completely agree. All right, we're going to start hopping around here before we go to the fallers side of things, because Josh Bell is Josh Bell. Don't have a lot to say about him. Schwarbaums, yeah, he's good. Max Kepler, don't have much to say there either. Unless you do. If you have anything on those two guys, go for, no, not yet. No.
I honestly, at a 537 ADP, I really like Max Kepler. I think I've drafted him once or twice already.
At 537, it's very nice. Yeah.
I think you're getting a pretty good free agent discount. I think he's going to play. Someone will sign him, probably as a platoon, but that's fine. At 537, I think that's a really nice buy late in drafts right now, Max Kepler.
Don't disagree with you there. As long as it's not the Giants, you're just fine. they shouldn't. They have a million outfielders. Let's hit the third Chicago Cub on this list. PCA, one of the most polarizing players at this point in time. He is one of the best players in baseball in the first half, stumbled in the second half, still finished 31-35 with 91 runs, 95 RBIs, hit 247. Like, that's just a killer stat line, Ryan. Right now, he's got an ADP of 30, so he's at the 2-3 turn. His strikeout rate was the same, but his barrel rate went from 7 to 13%. As we know, the power showed up with PCA. I am anti-pick 30 PCA. I'll give you the floor, though, because I'm not a believer, but some people are, obviously.
So why aren't you a believer? I'll flip it back.
I think the power, I think it's more of an O'Neal Cruz profile, which is not pick 30. I think he took such a leap. Now, maybe it's who he is. It's the sample's small, to your points with some guys earlier. But that jump in the barrel rate all the way up to 13% from 7.4. The hard hit rate's only 42%, which is good, but not an elite power hard hit rate, if that checks out to anybody at home.
Yeah, because he hits a ton of fly balls. Yep.
Yes. And his home run to fly ball for a guy that hits nearly 50% fly balls, he jumped from a 9% to a 14.2%. Is that sustainable? That's a question as well. So I just have so many questions. Like, if he does it again, I'll tip my cap. That's how we've talked a lot on the show. I'm okay taking the L. But at that ADP, like, I need to know what's coming. And I don't think, like, you look at his contact rate, his zone contact dropped from 78.4 to 84%. That's a hell of a jump. Now, that's awesome if it sustains. That's just, did he change that much in one offseason?
Yeah, and I don't think anyone – we can all predict what we think. I don't think anyone really knows. And that's the toughest one where you've got, like, two seasons of a sample. They tell you it's two different players. I don't know which one to freaking believe. So the interesting thing that I was trying to get you to say first half or second half, because I think I've mentioned this point in the pod before, but, like, for as much as Pecoro Armstrong on the surface fell apart in the second half, his first half barrel rate, 13%. His second half barrel rate, 13%. Strikeout rate was almost exactly the same in the first and second half. I don't think PCA was as good as he was in the first half. I don't think he was as bad as he was in the second half either. And that first half, you know, first half was 21 homers, 25 steals, according to Baseball HQ and the forecaster. Second half was just 10 homers, 10 steals, 228 batting average. So I think the truth is somewhere probably right in the middle of those two. To get to the point of, like, actually to go back to our democracy draft, we had some discussion about PCA in the third round of our 12-teamer and comparing him with Zach Neto. And for me, like, I'm taking Zach Neto all day. I know they're different positions, but similar type projections. And yeah, I'm probably with you for all that I just said. Like, I, for whatever reason, if I'm in the second, third round of a draft and PCA is there for me, I just have a hard time clicking that button without a good data-driven reason to do it, because everything I just said about the second half slide, like, it, he was fine. So I don't know. PCA is tough for me, and anyone who's tough for me and if they go at a 30 ADP just means I'm going to pick someone else because there's a lot of other good alternatives.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's a lot of it's price dependent for me with him. It's like, would I love that stat line? Heck yeah. But if he isn't this guy, if he's more the second half batting average, because like you said, barrel rate was the same. Struck out 3% more in the second half. Like, it wasn't crazy. Yep. Like, that's, yep. But the production wasn't there, and I need the production. So that's where the question comes into play. And it's also the other thing is when we talk about our roster constructions a lot, we talk about how hard it is to find batting average late. If you take a guy that's hitting 245, you're behind the eight ball unless you start drafting accordingly real quick in those early picks. And now you're not taking a pitcher in round three or four. Like, you're going to need probably two hitters in the first. You're going to need three hitters, two of them with good batting average in the first three or four rounds to offset that.
Well, there's an easy solution to that problem. You just take Freddie Freeman with your next hitter pick
in round seven, as he's slipping down the ADP. yeah,
that was pretty good, man. I like that one.
What you do is you take Vladito. Yeah,
I voted for Freddie in fourth round of the democracy draft.
I saw and I ignored.
I don't think anyone else voted for Freddie Freeman.
Everyone used their brain on that one, right? Not their heart. There's a difference. Just can't quit him. It's your boy.
His ADP needs to slip a little bit more.
Yep. All right, let's bring up Bo Naylor. We talked about him in the catcher review, and I'm glad he's on this board again. Bo Naylor he's got an ADP of 423, which is really nice because I think this is actually a catcher too, especially in 15s this year. K rate went from 31 to 24%. Barrel rate went from 8 to 10%. So he improved in both categories the way you want to see it. Again, end all stat line, 195, 14 homers, not what you want to see. But what I wanted to see more with Bo Naylor, again, he's 25 years old, super young. First, like, it's like a second full year pretty much catching, even though they kept Austin Hedges around for some godforsaken reason. But when I look at Bo Naylor, if you start looking at his improvements as the season went along, especially the way he finished hitting 290 the last month of the year. He played 19 games. It's like he didn't play much, pretty much standard every month. He hit three of his home runs in that month. Like, we saw a kid start to swing. Now, maybe the competition wasn't as good. Like all the answers are fine. I get it. But we saw the kid has the skills. That's what I want to see. So if you have a 423 ADP, he's probably your catcher 3 in these drafts. And like I said, there will be a lot of weeks where you will use. I think we're going to see a much better Bo Naylor this year. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, I don't have too much to add there. You covered it very well. I was going to nitpick, and it's stupid to nitpick people with a 423 ADP. Like, he is a platoon bat, but that doesn't really matter for catchers, especially going that late, because none of them are getting full-time plate appearances anyway. So, no, you laid out a great case for Bo Naylor. I am bolding him in my sheet as we speak right now, actually.
Yeah, I think there's legs to Bo. This guy, oh man, I never thought I'd like Anthony Volpe, but
this dude, he's Bloom, everywhere, man.
Oh, this is why Bloom boards are great. And it wasn't, I think I tweeted it, and they're like, I wrote way more words than I wanted to say about Anthony Volpe, but yeah, I'm in. K rate went up from 23% to 25%, but the barrel rate also improved from 4% to 11%, a 7% increase in barrel rate, Ryan, with a guy that needed surgery on his shoulder,
right?
That's insane. I'll leave my comments, since I dug in a lot. I took the Naylor time. I'll give it to you, because even on a down season, 19 homers, 18 steals. What do you got on Anthony Volpe?
No, I mean, I'm just pretty perplexed how, yeah, with the bad shoulder, like the power was much, much better. So I just think Anthony Volpe is, I think the playing time's safe. I think he's at least a 20-20 guy. Like, yeah, the batting average is going to hurt, but at a price of 288. I mean, like, that is extremely late in drafts. And yeah, maybe there's some missed time early in the season, but like, I think this is a profile you jump all over. 25 years old. Like, mm-hmm. I just think there's a low chance of Anthony Volpe falling on his face. I think there's a better chance of Anthony Volpe hitting 20 home runs and even approaching 30 bags that he almost got his first two seasons in the Bronx. So I really like Anthony Volpe at the price. I would pay a 200 price for him. He's at 288, yep. But maybe I'm overlooking the shoulder surgery rehab stuff. I don't know, but he's cheap.
Maybe I'm overlooking it now because I'm thinking, okay, Zach Neto, we all said no. I'm not saying Volpe's Neto, but he had the shoulder issue.
But in terms of rehab, stuff, he is. Yeah.
Yes. That's what I'm saying. So like, what's to say there's a massive difference? Because man, if you look at Volpe's profile, yeah, the batting average sucked. Like, there's zero denying that, but he also had a 252 BABIP after a 303 the previous season. He elevated the ball more, so it wasn't on the ground as much. He had a 9% difference in ground ball to rate and a 15% difference in his fly ball rate. So, like, a massive shift there. And I was thinking, you know, if you're playing baseball and you have a bad shoulder, you might be dipping your shoulder more, elevating the ball more. That's kind of how that works. I think this kid's good, like, really good. His defense might be the only thing killing him. But at 288, like, I'll take that chance all day long. And I think I had a final line in my quote that he could be this year's Trevor Story based on ADP. So just do with that what sure. you wish. Like, yeah. That's where I'm at with him. I love the price tag on Anthony Volpe. And Andrew Benintendi, Benny Biceps, you got anything there before we go to the follower side of things? Every year we look at him like, dude, he's hitting 250 now, and he's sold out for power, which is fine at his price, I guess.
Every year, it's just like Benny's gonna play every day. He's pretty good, and he's ADP 400. Like, yeah, I have already drafted. No, I draft him, man. Hell yeah!
Oh, but I mean, no, I'm in reference if he's like almost 400. Like, no one's drafting him.
Oh, no one. Yeah, exactly.
Free falling. That's crazy.
Exactly. I'm drafting him. I love Benny.
Of course you are.
He's well, like the ultimate like boring old. That's just.
I was gonna say he's gonna be 32 this year. Of course you're drafting him.
Yeah, he's awesome. He's starting to meet
your AARP program.
That's right. His 401k is cruising along. He's doing good.
His Roth is doubling. Like, things are good. All right, let's talk about the fallers side of things. Nolan Gorman I'm perplexed with him in drafts for two reasons. His ADP is 492, which is great. Playing time seems like it's going to be there. Still not a guarantee by any means, but it should be because a lot of parts are moving, but we'll see. And he improved his strikeout rate from 38 to 34%. That's an improvement. But his barrel rate also went from 17 to 9%. Doesn't hit for average. Like, I look at his ADP, I have not clicked the draft button yet.
Yeah, it's tough. Like, same. And Gorman, he's got that kind of, you know, that magical middle corner infield eligibility, second base, third base. But it's like, I don't know. I always say this: if you suck at one position, then you really suck at multiple positions. I don't know. There were some back problems in July, so maybe that kind of drove some of the second half disaster for Nolan Gorman. But he also hasn't really shown a whole lot outside of 2023. So he's got one decent season out of four, and that's a little tough. Plus the playing time questions.
Yeah, Lindor, mentioned him, ADP 17. Strikeout rate's both 18%, but the barrel rate dropped from 14 to 9%. I have my thoughts. What are your thoughts
on that? Yeah, no, go ahead, because I know you've been a – I mean, on the surface, Lindor looks as good as ever with basically a 30 – I don't want to say 30-30 lock, but he's been a 30-30 guy each of the last three seasons. That is a big drop in barrel rate, though.
Yeah, he had a 732 plate appearances, so – a massive bust in plate appearances. So if you revert back to like that 685 to 690, he's probably more like 26, 27 home runs. Still very good. Still very good. But just want to throw that one out there with Lindor. Other than that, everything's pretty good outside of the barrel rate drop, as you mentioned. Our hit rate's just fine with him. Ground ball rate boosted a little bit with him. A lot more infield fly balls. I think a lot of it has to do with, I'd have to break it down like month by month, and I have not done that. But he had like that, was it a fractured toe or hand or something at one point? He was supposed to miss time, didn't miss any time. And I wonder if that really affected his approach at the plate. That's my thought on Lindor, because he still is very good, still played pretty much every single day, 160 games. But that is a massive barrel rate that if you bring him back to his usual workload, he'll obviously take a little hit, but still one of the best shortstops in baseball.
Yeah. And even like in the forecast where we have an expected home run total, it's kind of Statcast based and park neutral, that we had him at 27 expected home runs based on how hard he hit the ball and the trajectory and stuff like that. So really not that far off the 31, but yeah, I'm not too worried about it.
No, I already got a few shares. Not a concern at all. I am curious what you have to say on Lawrence Butler, a dude still has an ADP of 132 because his profile, like stat line, looks like Michael Harris. But 24, his K percent rose from 24 to 28%, while his barrel weight went from 11 to 9%. A lot of people were very excited heading to 2025. A lot of those people were very disappointed leaving 2025. So where are you at on the Law Dog, who also might not have a full-time job?
Yeah, I was going to say, you tore into the Law Dog pretty good. I think it was your Baseball HQ article.
Yes, it was the HQ article, yes.
That came out this week. And I'm with you, man. Like, yeah, I've got some platoon and playing time concerns. While the park is great, it's not when you hit the ball on the ground 45% of the time. So that's not great either. And then the last but not least, of course, is you have to factor in lack of a track record here. So, and the price isn't, like, he hasn't dropped that much. ADP 132 is...
Joe Adell's going after him 26 picks later.
Yeah, he's going 20 picks after George Springer. It's like, that's
crazy.
That's nuts to me. So I'm with you. I am, especially at the price, I am evading the law with this one.
He thought the law and the law won. The playing time thing I'm talking about, though, is I think Denzel Clark's going to play every day in center field. They showed that.
Elite
defense,
They
want that defense. They proved that. And I think the only reason why the Law Dog got more at-bats later is because Clark got hurt. So keep that in mind as well. Elliot Ramos, ADP of 229, which is suckering me back into him. His K rate dropped from 26 to 23%, and his barrel rate also dropped, though, 15% to 9%. We talked a lot about him recently. To me, it's a selectivity issue. Like, figure out who you are. That's my biggest thing with him, because he's young. We've seen a season where he's been pretty aggressive, not like overly, but pretty aggressive, and then one where he was so patient, and the so patient one just fell off the map on the power production. I think he needs to find that middle ground. That's my thoughts on him. I don't know what else you have on Elliot Ramos.
No, you covered it well. I'll frame it this way. We talked about Mickey Moniak earlier, 225 ADP, basically the same as Elliot Ramos. What's your lean there? Like, I feel like Moniak's, you're more prone to really good weeks and really bad weeks, whereas Ramos, Ramos is pretty inconsistent too. So I don't know. Who are you taking there?
Yeah, that's a very tough one. I think if you want the ceiling, you probably go with Mickey Moniak, because he could run real hot like a couple of weeks.
Jeez.
If you want to just maximize plate appearances and maybe he figures it out this year, it's probably Ramos pretty easily. If you want to go the old strategy that we talked about, maximize plate appearances as much as possible, Ramos is going to smoke him in plate appearances unless something really crazy happens.
And that's, I think I'd go Ramos, especially again, I'm in draft and hold mind. This is the guy, you know, these are the guys I'm rolling with all season. Yeah, give me so those, Ramos, yeah, give me those 695 plate appearances that Ramos had last year. Like I'm barring like, injury.
Even if he meets in the middle of 24 and 25 production, that's a pretty darn good player at 229.
Yeah, it's a 260 batting average. It's like 23, 24 homers, 6-7 steals. Like that's
yeah, it's a good ball player. Good.
Yep. Yeah. Yep.
All right. This is one that I'm starting to love the ADP on. I don't know if I should, so you can talk me off the ledge. But Marcelo Ozuna has an ADP of 268. He just doesn't have a home either.
Right.
24% K rate last year, down 1%. Barrel rate dropped from 15 to 11%. We know he struggled quite a bit. I think he's dealing with an injury a lot of the season as well. Where are you at on Marcelo Ozuna? Because it feels like a Nelson Cruz path to the finish line.
Yeah. I don't know, man. He's homeless. He's old.
That's a bad combo.
That's already a bad combo.
Especially this time of the year. It's getting cold.
That's right. And he's a DH. Like I think so a lot of times early in draft season, I do think there is a free agent discount to be had. I forget who we were talking about earlier already.
Oh, Helsley?
No. Well, yeah, maybe Helsley.
Oh, Max Kepler.
Max Kepler. That's who I guess. Max Kepler. We're like, I'm pretty confident someone's going to sign Max Kepler. I don't know if anyone signs Marcel Ozuna.
Oh, dude, you tell me like the Chicago White Sox or somebody wouldn't like this guy?
I guess he did have a 355. He did have a good OBP last year. I don't know, man, but he is on the faller list and he's 35 years old. Like, I don't know if Ozuna from the Braves is going to be Ozuna from anyone. I think there is a risk that you get nothing here.
That's fair. I'll listen to it. I'm hoping you're wrong, but it's fair.
I'm probably wrong. It's something that, like, I don't know. The risk is higher than a lot of these free agent discounts where you know they're going to sign. It's just where.
Yep, it's fair.
So, I don't know. But I don't know. I look at the real world skills too. It was a 16% walk rate for Ozuna and 355 mm-hmm. OBP last year. Like, that is.
It wasn't dead weight.
That does have value. And that's a down season, 355 OBP. But I mean, exactly. The flip side of that is, you know, what is the rebound potential at 35 years old? Could be fine. But
what if like the A's bring him in the DH and say, rookie, you're playing the outfield. Ozuna, yeah. That like
yeah, people. No, then I'd be then that would be actually pretty sick.
Yeah. I was like there's a team that could get him on the cheap.
Yeah,
the
pick a different example. I don't think the A's are spending anymore. Okay. They pretended to spend last year and they're like, no, we're not doing that.
That's true. The Marlins would be a great place for him because he loves like that whole like there are options out
used
there.
Used to be on the Marlins, didn't he?
Yeah, and then yes, US the Nationals would be a good one. Like there's a bunch, just think of those bottom feeders basically.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Carlos Correa. Let's get your thoughts on Carlos Correa. ADP's 279. K rate went up to 19% from 17%. Barrel rate fell from 9 to 7. It's one of those I always see as ADP, and it's like it's boring, but he's a backup player. That if he doesn't get hurt, like last year played 144 games, it was 86 the year before, but then 135, 136, 148. So he's not a complete loss like we used to always say he was. He's getting playing time. He only hit the 13 home runs last year, which was a bummer, but he's still at 276. So it's a good late batting average source. And he had the barrel rate drop. So you're wondering, okay, can he just bring it back and get back to a 20 home run dude? I think at that ADP, he's going to play third base pretty much every day. Or no, Paredes is back. He's going to play every day in Houston. I don't know how that's going to play out just yet, but what's your thoughts on Correa?
He may not play every day. I don't know.
If he doesn't, that'd be wild. Because he will throw a fit.
Yeah. Remember when Giants signed him?
Yeah, for like, what, 6 hours?
Yeah.
4.5.
Yeah.
I mean, live on air. Yeah, I remember all that.
Yeah, that was one of our early shows, I think.
Yeah, that was one of our first ones. Yeah.
That was a few years back. Yeah, I'm just kind of fine with Carlos Correa at the price. I think the nice thing is that he is shortstop and third base eligible. So you mentioned this is probably a backup or maybe a deep middle infield, corner infield pick. And it's someone while he's playing, when he's, you know, if he's not on the IL, like there is value here, especially in terms of batting average and on what we think will be a decent Astros lineup. Depends on what Yordan Alvarez decides to do or Greg Oden decides to do next season. But if you can have a good batting average and a decent lineup and you qualify at short and third and you're going at pick 280, like, yeah, that works. You don't need the volume. You don't need the kind of everyday playing time at that point. So I think that's a fair price for Correa. I just think the ceiling is...
It's capped. It's very low. Capped. Yeah.
So no. If you're trying to speculate on breakouts or whatever, I'd look somewhere else.
The ceiling is the floor. So yes.
Ceiling is the floor. Yes.
I want to get your thoughts on Patrick Bailey. ADP is 459. We talked Bo Naylor at 423. So he's your catcher threes in a 15. Like, he will be rostered everywhere, obviously, for good reasons, because he plays a ton because of his defense. K rate went from 22 to 29%, which is not great. Barrel rate stayed at 6%. I want to get your thoughts before I lay out my theory.
I don't think I've even thought about Patrick Bailey yet this draft season.
You really should.
Oh, yeah. What's your theory?
As your catcher three, again, this guy is 26, another young guy. He's not an offensive force. There's no doubt about that. But he's another guy, weirdly enough, his second half was like good. Hit 246 in the second half, hit four home runs in the second half. All four homers came in September where he hit 288. We saw a completely different dude at the plate to finish the year. There's been reports that he made a swing change around the All-Star break and started getting comfortable with it. So that is a bit telling. His K rate dropped from 31% in the first half to 27% in the second half. So it's minor. Like, BABIP went up to 323 from 295. It's minor things. Like, is it going to carry over? Who knows? But at that ADP, if you're trying to figure out who your catcher three is, yeah, he's going to get a ton of playing time. Like, I'd still take Bo Naylor as the upside play. But I think Patrick Bailey should get a little more love than most people are like you, Ryan, where you're just like, it's Patrick Bailey. I want nothing to do with him. But I think there's more to it than just a complete wash, I think.
I mean, yeah, I guess. I'm not gonna dog a number three catcher too much at this point. You're just trying to fill, you know, some catchers matter. I don't know if this one does, but
easy turbo.
I know. But like, I'd much rather have Bo Naylor going 30 picks ahead of Patrick Bailey.
Yeah, no, that's what I said. I take Bo Naylor for sure. But
Bailey's, if you've got a, if you, it's nice to, I will say, it's nice to have a catcher three in a draft and hold that plays,
yes,
every day and could be half decent some weeks.
I had so many just empty weeks at catcher last year. It was depressing.
I mean, granted, Patrick Bailey had plenty of empty weeks
himself. Yes, he was basically an empty week at times as well. So that's very, very, very true. All right, we're not going to talk Bobby Witt or Juan Soto unless you really have something there.
No, I don't. Okay, I'm good. Okay.
I want to let you talk about your boy, though, Nick Gonzalez, who you've been a fan of for a couple years now. ADP of 503, and he's potentially the starting third baseman or shortstop, I believe. A shortstop, that's what they have meant for now.
Yeah,
Nick
sure.
Works at second.
Yeah.
K rate went from 19% to 18%, still good. Barrel rate dropped from 8% to 5%. The floor is yours, Ryan. So besides playing time at 503, what should we be talking about with the loss in barrel percentage?
No, I mean, that's pretty much it. Playing time at 503, and it could be in of the shortstop second base variety. I don't think, yeah, Nick Gonzalez does not qualify at short right now, but I think he will, unless the Pittsburgh Pirates sign a shortstop, which I'm quite doubtful, when they're celebrating the fact that they met half of Josh Naylor's salary. Yeah,
they're $40 million off the target. We were in, though. We were in, folks.
We were in. I think there's a real chance you get an everyday player in Nick Gonzalez at 500 ADP that could qualify at multiple positions. And I think, no, like, Nick Gonzalez isn't that great, but I think he's also kind of like a can't-hurt-you type. 276 batting average. Last year, 251 in 2025, if you factor in minor league equivalents, like, that doesn't hurt you. I don't know. And if you play every day, like, again, this is a depth piece in a draft and hold. So probably already spent too much time on Nick Gonzalez at this point, but I just think the price
is, to give you the four.
The price is fine. And you know, I live for these guys who just, boring as hell.
I had it queued up.
Hey, man, this is a piece you will need. I've drafted Nick, to the surprise of no one. I've drafted
Nick
Gonzalez.
Yeah, I'll say no. You're going to have like 80% Nick Gonzalez, like, unless someone decides to be smart and snipe you, which I don't know if it's being smart. It's more just being a smart ass. Like,
yeah, it's more just being a jackass. I don't know. I'll stop talking about Nick Gonzalez. He's a fine depth piece that you need in you'll probably use him in a few weeks in drafting Holtz. Let's go.
All right. All right. The last name I have to discuss here, unless you have others you want to mention, is Trevor Larnach. It's kind of like in the Max Kepler vibe. Obviously, the ADPs are much different. 537 for Kepler, Larnach's 351. Larnach, his K rate stayed at 22%, but he saw his barrel rate go from 10% to 7%. He should be platooning once again, but in last year's platoon, still played 142 games, had 567 plate appearances, which goes a long ways. Hit 250, 17 home runs. What are your thoughts on Trevor Larnach, who before last year was 10% or better in the barrel rate every year? Basically, you know, 40 hard hit stayed the same, but that barrel rate drop, any concerns there?
No, not really. I feel like this is one where you bet on the bounce back just because for that reason. You just mentioned 10% barrel rate or better in his other MLB seasons. This just feels like an outlier, especially someone, Trevor Larnach, going into his age 29 season. So I think young enough to turn this around. So I actually like the buyback opportunity. Is he a free agent?
No.
Is he still on the Twins?
Okay. He's projected to hit second in platoon at the moment.
And that's fine. At a price of 350, that's your outfield six, something like that, that you can use in a ton of weeks. So I don't mind Trevor Larnach at all. This is a fall where I'm buying the dip because the skills track record has been better, consistently better than what we saw in one season in 2025 last year.
Completely agree with you on that one. All right. Anybody else you'd like to discuss? Like, I'm not bringing up Conforto. King William played with a broken finger.
William, we all know that's another bounce back. Actually improved his K rate, and we all know why the barrel rate dropped for King William.
Yeah, not worried. I already have at least one share. Like, not concerned at all. So,
not surprised. You can have your King Williams, and I'll have my Nick Gonzalez's and Max Kepler's. And
well, I just like the fact King Williams' ADP is 55, and like last year he was like going to Cal Raleigh type, it felt like. So to me, it's like we're getting a discount from a guy that I think could bounce back to being close to that catcher one again.
Yep, I like that price quite a bit. I don't have William Contreras yet, but I will at some point.
Yeah, I've been aggressive on catchers. So I got Goose, King William. Like,
you got Goose in our draft in the fifth.
Yep. I went Goose, Kyle Teal. So I backed up my words, folks, pretty bad. This is what I have to say. Like, I'm a man of my word on those ones.
You got a pair of Goose with the Gosling later on.
Well, right now I got the two birds. I got the Goose and the Teal.
Teal? Is that a bird?
Teal's type of duck. It's spelled T-E-A-L, not T-E-E-L, but yeah. Goose isn't technically goose either. Yeah, teal is a type of duck. When you go duck hunting, you can get a teal. Yes.
Yeah, you're right.
Gosling last week, teal this week. I grew up in duck hunting capital of the world. I don't hunt, but all my friends freaking hunt. Huh. So, yeah.
The Eurasian teal.
Yep.
You're good looking duck.
That's something new. I'm bird, here for you.
Whatever the hell it is.
It's a type of duck. You're good.
All right.
It's what you guys get in December, Bubba in the Bloom. So, any final thoughts before we wrap up episode 299 and head to episode 300 on Thursday evening?
No, I'm watching videos of teals floating in a lake. They're pretty elegant creatures. Oh, this one's about to get attacked.
Yeah, exactly. He's floating for now. I knew where that was going.
No, that's all I got, man. Yeah, looking forward to 300. We should probably think of something to do for that, but 300 on Thursday. That's gonna be good, man. 300 freaking shows. That's
300 crazy. Shows. Pretty wild stuff there. And in typical fashion, I usually don't do anything fancy for my quote unquote milestone episodes. So we'll see if we do something because it doesn't feel like we're just gonna keep business as usual. Like,
things have been so damn busy that Thursday will be here before we know it. So
pretty much.
I don't know. Who knows? We'll see. Never rule it out, but.
You never know. So, yeah, come check us out Thursday evening. Again, if you have any questions, hit up Ryan on Twitter, at RyanBHQ, the podcast, at Bubba Bloom Pod, on the Patreon with all the cool tools that he keeps building for draft season, and much, much more on patreon.com/BubbaBloom. I'm BD Intrick. Until next time, this is Bubba in the Bloom, episode 299. Catch you all later.